1 John chapter 2 tonight. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to go through verse 18 and verse 19. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Faith, you know, faith in a lie, and a lot of people can have faith in a lie, but faith in a lie brings horrible consequences to a person. If they believe in a lie, they're going to get hurt. You know, it's a curse in the end. You know, spiritually, if they have faith in a lie, it's a horrible ending. But faith in the truth brings blessing and hope to a person and a happy ending. If you believed in the right thing, if you had faith in the right thing. You know, faith is very important, and truth and lie are very important. And that's what John is covering in this book, because false teachers have come in. He's encouraging the saints in the Word of God, encouraging them to go on. He's writing to them, we've seen. He's been sharing about light, life, and love in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. And in chapter 2, as we saw in verses 12 to 14, he's addressing new Christians, young Christians, mature Christians, everyone in the church. He says, I'm writing you and I'm writing to you. And then he gave the warning in verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We have the prince of this world, Satan, and we have the King of Kings, Jesus. That's all there is. A person either chooses the Lord or Satan. Not that they do it consciously, not that they're a Satan worshiper, but when you don't follow the Lord, you're following the prince of this world. You do the things that the world does. You get involved in the things the world does. And it's Satan's system. And it's a lie. And God gives us truth through Jesus. So he says, don't love the world, love God. And now John warns the church about false teachers and those who would bring false doctrine to the people. And today there's a lot of false doctrine, lies. Today people deal with emotions, personalities, feelings, knowledge, and they get away from the Word of God. They go by other things. People today think they're so smart, and I think of the verse in Corinthians, professing to be wise, they become fools. That's the way it is out there today. As if we could add anything to what God has already done. There's no new thing. He tells us that in Hebrews 1, that, you know, in his last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. There's no new thing. There never will be a new thing. The saints in the first day are going to get to heaven the same way the saints in the last day do, through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no new truth. But Satan would like to present lies to people. And the truth matters. God's word, the Bible, is truth. This is truth. God gave this to us. That's why Satan attacks it. That's why he tells people you have better things to do than read the Bible. That's why he says, hey, topical studies are better, because you don't want to hear from God. You want to hear from a person. The Bible is truth. Our doctrine as a Christian is based on the Word of God, the Bible. That's good, because it's not going to change. Our doctrine is not based on man's word, ideas, or thoughts, or what feels right or sounds right, but on God's word, what is right. And we know God doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. Isn't that good to know we serve someone that doesn't lie? Don't you hate it when you find out someone lied to you? Isn't that awful? Verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. First, he addresses little children, and That means literally this word children in this context is young person, new Christian, or an immature Christian. New in the faith. Or a young person. Why? Because they can be easily influenced with a lie. I am so thankful to God that when we got saved and gave our life to Christ, He led us to a Bible teaching church. We could have gone somewhere else and be confused. But He led us to a Bible teaching church. We're blessed to be able to study the Bible. And new Christians, it's so important because they can be formed early on in their walk about what to believe in. And so He speaks to young Christians, to the little children, to the young people. He says, it is the last hour. That word means last time. This is where we are today, in the last hour, in the last time. Since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we on this earth are in the last hour. We're in the latter days. We're in the last times. We're in what we call the church age, the age of grace. There's this gap of time. Jesus came. The old covenant was done away with. There's a new covenant now to get to the Father, to heaven. And we're in this gap of time when it'll end and God deals again with Israel and we get winding down on this earth. But we're in this gap right now. Remember, we read about the mystery that is now shared with us. The mystery is the church, unknown to the Old Testament. But now we're living in that time of the mystery, the church being fulfilled. And it's this gap of time where, you know, we're in that age of Christ, the church, a time when anyone who desires can be saved. Anyone. Anyone can be saved. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. By believing in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, which is the truth, they can be saved. The bad news is this age or this time or this hour is not going to go on forever. It's going to end. This age is going to end. And that's the truth. Once the church is complete, we will be raptured and taken out of this world. And we'll forever be with the Lord. Let's read Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Romans 11, verse 25. Paul writes, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. He says, here's what's going on now. Israel's been blinded. They've rejected the Messiah. And they're going to remain blinded until the fullness of the Gentiles. Then He will deal with them again. But we're in this mystery age, the time of the church. But it's going to go on and end when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. So it's a matter of numbers, not years. When the bride of Christ is complete, that number of believers, when the bride of Christ is complete, then there's no need for us to be here anymore. We're going to be taken home to forever be with the Lord. We're going to be raptured. There's this age of grace where anybody can come to the Lord, Jew and Gentile, if they desire to come through Christ. But that time is going to end. I remember this scary song. I don't know if any of you remember Keith Green. When he put out some music, there was a song, he says, close the doors, they're just not coming. There was a line in that song. And I picture that, wow, close the doors, they're just not coming. They're not going to come in. The door's going to close. They're just not coming. And the door's going to close because the bride is full, and that's it. And ooh, how horrible for those left behind. That's truth. The world doesn't want to think that way, but that's truth. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, it tells us, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God." There's going to be a lot of noise. "And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Hey, that's what's going to happen. Believe it or not, it's true. We're going to be raptured one day. Now, as we go along in our daily life, sometimes it's hard to believe that, but it's truth. And people might say, "Do you really believe that?" Yeah, because God said it. You notice what it says at the end of all of that, when that chapter talks about the rapture, verse 18? It says, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." People don't talk about the rapture or the last days of the tribulation much anymore. And yet, it tells us, comfort one another with these words. People kind of get into getting your life together here on this earth and share things like that. We should so be attached to God and feel such like misfits in the world that we're comforted by the fact that one day we're going to be taken home to be with the Lord rather than trying to make it better here. He says, comfort one another with these words. After that event, the rapture, we read in the Bible about a great tribulation period in which Jesus Christ returns to this earth with the church for 1,000 years, going to be great here on earth, and he's going to rule in Satan bound. Now, when we read of the tribulation period, and we read the book of Revelation about it, we read of the Antichrist. That man who is anti means against Christ. And that's what we read about in the book of Revelation and in the last days. The Antichrist. And that's what we're going to read about today. The Antichrist. So in verse 2:18, we read, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming." So first of all, he says, you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. First of all, he says, you've heard about this, that the, capital A, Antichrist is coming. So they were taught about the Antichrist coming. He still hasn't come. That was a long time ago. But first of all, we read, you have heard of the Antichrist, that he's coming. And so they were taught about it, about that man coming on the scene, the Antichrist. And he would come prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he's called the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians 2. He's called the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He's called the lawless one in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he's called the beast in Revelation 11 verse 7. He's got a lot of bad names. Because he's anti-Christ, against Christ. And we read in Scripture, he's powered by the devil. See, there's only two people, or two faiths you can have on this earth, either in Jesus Christ or you're following Satan. That's it. And the Antichrist is going to come, and he's powered by Satan. And Satan is the father of lies. And so he lies to people. He wants people to believe in their feelings and in false teachers. In Daniel chapter 9, he's spoken of as the prince which is to come. He will even allow the temple to be rebuilt. That'll be quite a feat. Everybody wants peace in the Middle East. And they're looking for a man of peace that could bring things together. between the Arabs and the Jews. And you know, as we know, the Muslims have their mosque there on that spot, and somehow this guy is going to be able to make peace and get the temple rebuilt and get these parties to agree with each other. Let's turn to Daniel 9, verse 26. Daniel 9, verse 26. In Daniel 9, verse 26, the Lord is telling us about this seven-year, all these years that are going to come before Jesus comes, and then about this last seven-year period in the history of Israel here. And he says in verse 26, "And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come, who follow him, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood, until the end of the war, desolations are determined. But then, he," speaking of this prince to come, the Antichrist, "he's going to confirm a covenant with many for 1 week," a seven-year period, not 7 days, it's 7 years. He's going to bring peace and make this covenant. They're going to get along. But in the middle of the week, 3.5 years in, and that backs up Book of Revelation, we see first 3.5 years, they think of him as a good person, but the last 3.5, horrible, and it's great tribulation. But in the middle of the week, 3.5 years in, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. He's going to say, "No, now you worship me." "And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate." He's going to make it desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. How do we know this is talking about the Antichrist and him doing that? Jesus spoke of this. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew 24, verse 15. In Matthew 24, verse 15, Jesus said, "When you see the abomination of desolation," that's him, we just read about him, he who makes everything desolate, "when you see that Antichrist spoken of by Daniel the prophet," that's what we just read out of Daniel the prophet, "standing in the holy place in the temple, whoever reads, let him understand." When you see that happen, that's, now we won't be here. This is after the rapture. This is all of 24 is generally speaking to Jews in the nation of Israel. It's a Jewish in nature, this chapter. "Whoever reads, understand, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who's on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house." He says, you better run for cover. "Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath." See, it's Jewish in nature because he talks about not working on the Sabbath. Pray that it's not on the Sabbath. We're not going to be here. "For then," he says, "flee, because then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." We've seen a lot and heard of a lot of tribulation and horrible things happening. Look at the Holocaust. There's nothing like this that's going to happen. And he says, "unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." So the Antichrist is going to come, looks like a man of peace, going to rebuild a temple. Then he's going to demand he to be worshipped. Jesus said, when that happens, you better flee, you Jews. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him about the rapture, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. He's telling them, hey, it hasn't come yet. Some were wondering if it has. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless these things happen. Unless the falling away comes first, we see a great falling away. We know so many people that have fallen away. There's going to be a great falling away. The point is, they were never born again. Maybe were church members, knew about the Lord, said they believed, but it's going to become this time to leave and go to something else. There's going to first be a great falling away. We see that. And then the man of sin, the Antichrist, will be revealed, the son of perdition. Then the Antichrist is going to be revealed, he's telling them, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Isn't that an abomination? Worship me, I'm God. I can't imagine someone doing that. But that's what he's going to do. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining. He says, but you know what's holding this back. What is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. There's something holding him back and from him being revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains can hold him back and do so until he is taken out of the way. The restraining force is the church indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Believers indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We're in, like I said up front, we're in the church age, this age of grace. God's allowing people to come to the Lord. There's not going to be any stopping that in the meantime. No tribulation, no Antichrist. People are going to be free to choose. Not have to worship the Antichrist or anything. So we're restraining him from coming on the scene until we're taken out of the way, and that's the rapture. And then what happens, verse 8? And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of the coming. And the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. He's powered by Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Don't worry about being deceived, because you believed and you're saved. It says here, because they didn't believe. Those are the ones left. We're out of the way. He can't be revealed till we're taken out of the way, because it tells us that right here. So the Antichrist, powered by Satan, he won't be revealed until the rapture of the church. And that's the Antichrist that he speaks of in 1 John 2, verse 18. It's the last hour, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming, and he's coming. But then he goes on to say, even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know, hey, that it is the last hour. We know we're living in this last hour, this last age, because there's many antichrists have come even now. People against Christ. Antichrist. You know, it's like the things in the Old Testament were foreshadowing Jesus Christ. These antichrists that have been living, these false teachers, are foreshadowing the Antichrist. The truth was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. The lie was foreshadowed by these other Antichrists until he comes. In other words, hearts are being prepared to believe a lie. And it's happening today. A lot of lies, a lot of false doctrine, a lot of feel-good things. He says, even now, many Antichrists, it was happening then. These are people that are in the spirit of Antichrist. They're powered by Satan even now. We know we're in the last hour. Now, who are these Antichrists? False teachers. They deny Jesus Christ as the Son of God, His deity, that He's God in the flesh, and that He's the only way of salvation. They're liars, as we start out. There's truth and lie. They're liars. They lie against the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God in the flesh, and the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him. They're liars. They would love you to be all one faith, believing in one doctrine that everybody's okay as long as you really believe in it. You know, we all have faith in something. We're all okay. But it's a lie. They're false teachers. Truth exists and lie exists. And John is teaching these readers on this subject, especially the young believers, because they might get confused when they hear false teachers, and they might get caught up in following a cult or a lie or a personality and not the Lord. That's why it is so important for people to be in the Word of God. The only way we're going to know a lie is by the truth. We measure everything by the Word of God. This is our template. It's like when they give you a quiz and they also give you the answer. You know, when we were on the plane going out to Seattle last week, on those airplane magazines, they have those puzzles in the back and the crossword puzzles. And the crossword puzzles are extremely difficult. I'm not a crossword puzzle guy to begin with, but I don't know what they're talking about, what they're looking for. So I found the page where the answers were. And I got a pen, and my wife's sitting by me. I'm slowly putting all the answers in, you know, filling it all out. I'd put one here, put one there. Once in a while, I would know one. And I got this thing like 80% full. She gets up and goes back and comes back, and I got just like two or three spaces. She says, "Boy, you really do good at cheating, don't you?" She knew what I was doing all the time. You know, she wouldn't look, I'd go back, look at the answers, and put them in. It's easy to know the answers when you have the answers. We have them right here. This is it. This is the answer. Jesus is the answer. God's Word has the answers. And you can live your life by this. So we follow Jesus and not people. Now, you notice in verse 19, we get into verse 19, you know, and he says, "And even now Antichrist have come, we know that we're in the last hour." And then in verse 19, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." That's interesting, because what he tells them is that, don't get confused, because they went out from us. They were part of the church. He said, they went out from our fellowship, he said. They went out from us. Speaking to the fellowship here. They went out from us. They hung around with the apostles. John's writing, the apostle. They hung around with the apostles, believers. They were in fellowship. Together, doing things together. But they left at one point. Not everyone who is a member of a church is a member of the family of God. We get that warning in Scripture. Judas hung around with the 12. He personally handled Jesus. It's not that they need this or that or proof or need to have Jesus teaching them. It's all faith. People that walked with Jesus did not believe. So it's sometimes we pray, "Oh God, if you would just do this in their life, they would believe." Nope. Just pray that they believe, that they have faith to believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we can narrow our prayers down. Please give them faith to believe. Do something to get their attention, Lord. Make them alive. Open their eyes. Give them faith. Because they went out from us. And they're called Antichrist now. They were not from us, but it says they were not of us. They went out from us, but they weren't part of us at all. They weren't born again believers. These people, church membership can be deceiving. People can have false security because they go to church. Membership in the family of God is what counts. Membership on that roll, the Lamb's Book of Life, is the only place that matters for your name to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Anywhere else, it doesn't matter. John 1, verse 12 and 13, it tells us, to those who believe on him, to them he gave the right to become sons of God. You have to be born again, receive Jesus Christ, become spiritually alive, then you're a new person. He says the Antichrist exists, and they were from us, but they were not of us. They weren't really true believers. They sat side by side, but they weren't really true believers. Not in heart and spirit. They were counterfeit Christians, make believers. And I'll tell you, some people can really fool you. It can look good. It can look like they're believers. But they're not all the time. Eventually, they do something to expose themselves, to show where they're really at, to show where their faith is, show what their priorities are, show the fruit of their life. The test, what's the test, verse 19? For if they had been of us, if they really were part of our fellowship and saints in the Lord, they would have continued with us. They would still be here. Now, he's not talking about just one local church building. He's talking about the body of Christ there. You know, they don't have to be in a specific church, part of the body of Christ. He says, if they truly were of us, they would still be with us. They would have continued. Continuing and finishing the course and standing fast proves that a person is a Christian. It doesn't save them. It proves you are. By standing fast, being immovable, continuing on through hardship, pain, for better or worse, rich or poor, in sickness and in health. You stand fast in the body of Christ. They didn't stay in fellowship. There was a point where they stopped going to church. They created their own doctrine, had people follow them. True Christians stay true to Christ. They finish. It's a sign of their faith. Lies don't drag them away. Persecution doesn't drag them away. There's no excuses. True Christians love the Lord. They believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died and rose from the dead, and salvation is only in him. And true Christians stay in the body of Christ and in fellowship. Remember, chapter 1 started with fellowship, with God the Father and one another. People that fall away from fellowship, from standing fast in the faith, I don't know where they stand. Next week, we're going to know how we stand and know where we are. We're going to see how. Verse 19, if they have been of us, they would have continued in the truth. But they went out that they might be made manifest, so they would become known that none of them were of us. They just proved they weren't of us by them leaving, falling out of fellowship. It bothers me. I see so many people stop going to church and getting out of fellowship and don't think it's important. Many, many multitudes of young people. Wow, it's an epidemic, and it scares me. Where are they with the Lord? It's very scary. I mean, we've just been to 2 college graduations, a high school graduation. In 3 different states, and it's the same thing, not just in California. It's all over. There's no talk of God in their life. It's very scary what's happening out there. But that's what's happening. We're in that last hour. And who's a true believer? They would not leave the body of Christ. They would love fellowship. Why? Because we true Christians have things in common, and that thing in common is Jesus Christ and the new life. Most cults start out with people that were in church. But then they want a following. And they want people to follow what they believe, and they create lies. And it's usually in works. Today, many people calling themselves Christians really have no desire for God's word. They can take it or leave it. They are open game for the enemy. But if you don't know truth, you are... I can't believe what some people believe. See, we as Christians are to test everything by the word of God. As he said, there are false teachers today. There were in his day. They're called antichrists. And we're going to know the truth. And how are we going to know that? We're going to pick it up next week in verse 20. But I want to close with these two sets of verses. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, this is easy to remember. 1 Timothy 4 talks generally about the same thing. 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 5, and 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 5. That's easy to remember if you want to research on the last days. 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 5, 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 5. First of all, 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 5. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. See, there's the Holy Spirit, and there's deceiving spirits. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. So there's going to be these false teachers leading people astray, running their lives for them. Then 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1 to 5. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Not anything else. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Whenever, be ready. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and teaching. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. We teach the truth because people have itching ears. They need to know sound doctrine. They're going to turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. Isn't that sad? They'd rather hear some story or some fable than the truth. That's why we need to stand on the Word of God, teach the Word of God, and be careful that we don't fall prey to this false teaching, that we're willing to instruct and reprove. And let people know, hey, that's a lie. And call it what it is. God, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray that we would be strong in our faith, that you would bless us, that we would be eager to know the word of God and be in the word of God so we're not deceived. I pray you would stir our hearts up here at this church, Lord, to have a hunger for the word of God, to know truth, so that we can share it, so that we can be kept from being deceived. We pray, Lord, that you would pour your Spirit out upon us, your Holy Spirit. Pray we would be sensitive to the Spirit and know a lie and know deceit, and that we would know truth. We thank you so much that we have Jesus Christ in our life, the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you that we're settled in you and we have our name written in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and for your word. God, we thank you that we have the Bible. It's what we measure everything against. Let us never get bored with it. but develop a fire in our hearts for the Word of God, where we can't get enough. Let us consume it, Lord, and know truth. And use us to help others from falling prey to deceit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.